Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I want to say happy Mother's Day. And we just thankful to be here this morning, thankful for all the mothers. And just want to bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to the scripture this morning. Remember Brother Phil, he's traveling out of town this morning. And I ask you to remember Nate this week in prayer. He's got an interview for a new job on Tuesday. So we're just trusting the Lord for that. Let's just bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, to be here this morning, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for all the mothers, Lord, and for all the sacrifices that they made, Lord, and to make our lives what they are today. Lord, we ask now that you would come, Lord, and bless the reading of your word, dear God, and bless, dear God, the people, Lord, and the word to the people, Lord. I pray that you anoint us, Lord, to speak that which would be a help to the individuals this morning, dear God. You know in every need this morning, we ask you to meet it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 4. I want to begin reading at verse 4, and we've got quite a few verses of scripture I want to read this morning to actually get this story and get a background for it. And we're going to be speaking another part on the election of God. And I just was waiting before the Lord, and while I was walking this week and things, and I a lot of times speak a message to the mothers on Mother's Day, but I didn't really feel that pull this time, and so I wanted to continue on this line of thought. Let's begin reading John chapter 4 and begin reading at verse 4. This is speaking of Jesus, and he must needs go through Samaria. And if I was to have a sub-thought for this morning, it would be that, and he must needs go through Samaria. And then he cometh to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave unto his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and was there about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saying unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would give thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this well shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him shall be in him a well of water springing up of everlasting life. And the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here thither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not thy husband, in that thou saidest thou truly. And the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, and when he come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And the woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man who told me all things that I did. Is not this the Christ? You may be seated. I want to welcome all of our visitors this morning. Amen. And say you're welcome here in the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, I was reminded of something that Brother Branham talked about the woman at the well. And he asked a question and said, what was the difference between the woman at the well and the priest down at the temple? And the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It says that in the book of John. And what the Word must then was, it first had to be an attribute. The Word was God. And God had a thought of himself being as human. And so he transmitted that down, and he came down, transmitting himself down to become the man we know as Jesus. Brother Branham said, if you were ever going to be up there in heaven, then you had to be with Jesus in the form of eternal life. You had to be with God. You had to be a part of God at the beginning. Not just something that you chose down here, but it was God that chose you. For he said, all the Father hath given me will come to me. And so you had to be given of God. And now we look at this woman at the well, as we've read here in the scripture, and in her first life, it was all messed up. It was all marred up. She had been married to five different men, been married and divorced, and married and divorced, and married and divorced, and married and divorced. And then now she was living with a man that she wasn't even married to. And her life was all messed up, so much so that she couldn't come to the well to draw water when the other women came. She had to come at another time, because it said it was the sixth hour of the day. And here she was coming to draw water for the day. And but Jesus had told them, I've got a need to go by Samaria. And he didn't come by Samaria earlier in the day, but he waited till the time, which would be the same time that this woman was going to come there. And in her first life, we don't know what all had happened to her, how she was raised, or what had got her into this condition. But Jesus didn't come to draw just from her first life, but he come to draw a little deeper than that. To draw from a seed gene of God that she had in her from before the foundation of the world, she was with God. And he come to, you know, redeem means to buy back. And what he came for was to redeem her. And as he came into this world to redeem you. And that's why he gave his life on Calvary and shed his blood, was to redeem you, to buy you back, as cause you were lost in this sinful world. And so here she was all messed up, and she was waiting for the word to be manifest, because she said, we know that when the Messiah comes, he'll tell us all these things. And Jesus said, I'm he that speaks to you. Now, when Jesus was speaking down in Jerusalem and different places, and the priests of that day come out to hear him, why they heard him, and he cast out devils and so forth and so on. And when they heard him, they said, you're of Beelzebub, you're a devil. That was what the priests had to say. And why did they say that? Because all they had was an intellectual learning of the word. And that brought from them, because they had no representation up in heaven. And so when Jesus spoke, what did it do? That light shining on them, what did it do? It just blacked them out. And they said, you're a devil. But when Jesus spoke to this woman at the well and said, you know, you spoke well when you said you have no husband, because you've had five and the man you're with now, why, he's not your husband. It didn't bring from her something to say you're a devil, but instead it brought and said, I perceive you are a prophet. It had a different effect on her. She didn't get all puffed up because he discerned her life, but instead here was something. What was it? The word of God, because the Bible says the word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It says that in the book of Hebrews. And so when he discerned her life, instead of her getting all offended, why, she said, we know that when the Messiah comes, he'll be able to do these things. And it brought out something different within her. And so he, what he was there, why didn't he get the priest? Because the priest was never up there. The priest, he had intellectual learning. In this life, he had become a man that knew the word. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the writings of the prophets. He knew the law, but it was all just intellectual. He had never had, there was never anything within him that come from God. You know, in the Bible, Jesus said, I have all that the Father hath given me, and I've lost none, save the son of perdition, speaking of Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And the Bible said that Judas was a son of perdition. It says that in the book of John, the 17th chapter, and he was the son of Satan, is what that's saying. He was the son of Satan. And he was the devil manifest in flesh. And he came here to betray Jesus and to cause Jesus to be crucified on the cross. And that's why Jesus said that the scripture might be fulfilled. And, you know, many people, they see three crosses on Calvary. They see Jesus and on the cross, and then they see him on either side, two crosses of two thieves that are being crucified with him. But the Bible says, cursed is he that hangeth on a tree, speaking of Jesus Christ, his body being cursed because it was to hang on a tree, a cross. But there was another one, a fourth one that hung on a tree, and that was Judas. The Bible said Judas went and hung himself, and because of what he had done. And so then we find the Son of God, that Jesus Christ, who came from heaven, dying on a tree, and taking with him, remember the two thieves, one on either side, and one said, if thou be the Son of God, then save thyself and save us also. But the other thief rebuked him and said, you know, we're worthy of what we're getting. We're thieves. But said, this man, he has done nothing. He's not worthy of what's happening to him. And then he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus spoke to him and said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. And see, then here was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he come from heaven, he was going back to heaven, and he was taking with him the repented sinner. But here was Judas, the Bible said, the son of perdition, the son of the devil, and he was from hell, and he was going back to hell, and taking with him the unrepentant sinner that said, if thou be the Son of God, save thyself, which was the same voice that said to Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. If thou be the Son of God, he has said he's given his angels charge over you, lest that you would lest you would hit your foot on the stone. And he said, cast thyself down off of here. And Jesus answered back and said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Right. The same spirit that was tempting him in the wilderness, which was Satan, was the same one saying, if thou be the Son of God, save thyself and save us also. So here was this one, and we find, friends, listen, we have found in our studies of the scripture, there are two seeds in this world. There were two seeds in the garden. There was a seed from Adam, which was a son of God, which was Abel. Then there was Cain, who the Bible said was of that wicked one, which we have said, that couldn't have been Adam. Adam wasn't that wicked one, so it had to be of the serpent, which was possessed by the devil. And then for Cain was a seed of Satan. But Abel was a seed of God. And so there's two seeds in the world today, two children. There are children of God and children of the devil. And here this woman at the well, her life that she had lived up to this time, it looked like she was a child of Satan. It looked like she was a child of hell, because it seemed like what her natural life was reflecting. But Jesus came to call that was deep inside that woman. She had enough of understanding to know that when the Messiah comes, he'll tell us these things. And when Jesus spoke to her, the word coming and speaking, it touched the word that was in that woman and brought that forth to life. And see, it had a different effect on her than it did the priest who called him a devil, called Jesus Beelzebub. It had a different effect on her. She ran into the city and said, come see a man who's told me everything I ever done. Is not this the Messiah? Is not this the Christ? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. She had representation. She had representation of heaven down on the inside of her soul. And when the light shined from Jesus on that seed, it brought that flower to life. Same thing when the light of God shines on any child of God. Shines on, I don't care what kind of life, first life that you've lived. I don't care what kind of life you were born into in this world. None of that has anything to do with it. But you come from God and you're going back to God. And when the light of God shines on that seed, Gene, it doesn't matter where that seed's buried. It doesn't matter how bad that individual is. It doesn't matter how much sin, muck, and mire that it's buried under. When the light of God shines on that seed, it comes to life and says, I perceive thou art a prophet. I perceive thou art the Messiah, and accepts Christ as a Savior. Amen. So if you had no representation in heaven, then you'll never see the word. A person would never come to it. But anybody who ever really comes to it, I don't mean an intellectual conception. If all you've got is an intellectual conception of the Bible, you need something more. You need what Jesus said, you must be born again. Amen. You've got to receive the Holy Ghost. Be born again of the Spirit. Amen. And see, when you're born again, then see, Satan, he can tempt you, but friends, he'll never get to you because you're born again, a new creature. See, God comes and he annihilates that old man. Amen. He justifies you by calling you. Then he comes and burns you out by sanctification. And then he comes and gives you the Holy Ghost, which is God himself coming to dwell inside of you. And he redeems and cleanses this earth the same way. He baptized the earth with water in the days of Noah. And then in the days of Jesus, he came and dripped his blood upon it. And one day's coming when John said, I've seen a new heaven and a new earth. And what's happening? There's coming a baptism of fire. The Bible says, and this whole earth will be burned over in its atmosphere, and God will make a new heavens, a new atmosphere, and a new earth, a new city of Jerusalem to come and rest down upon. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, now it's talking about this body that we're born into in this life. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. So we're born into this life by an earthly mother and father, and in our mother's womb, this flesh body begins to form. And there is a life down inside there, which is you. But when you're born into this world, the Bible said, we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity and came into this world speaking lies. And so we come into this world as sinners. And I don't care how good you live, you were born in sin and you were a sinner and in need of salvation of God. There is no one, I don't care how good they live, that doesn't need the salvation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so you're born into this life and then you begin to proceed through this life. And you know, you're affected by maybe the family you were born into. You're affected maybe by the things that your family done that you were born into. And you're affected by the world that you live in. And you're affected by the influences of the world that is around you. You maybe were affected by influences when you were in school, influences of peers, influences of different ones. And you then begin to grow up in this life. And maybe as you grew up in this life, you became one thing and another, and none of it had anything to do with God. But one day, the light of God shined across your path. And another thing, there's people born in this world that were born into a family that went to church, and all they knew about was church their whole life. But they still needed to be born again. They still needed to be saved. There was those that were born into parents that maybe brought them up in this message their whole life. But unless that message gets down inside of that individual, they'll be lost. And, you know, you became whatever you did in this earthly tabernacle. But you have, the Bible says, a heavenly home, a heavenly tabernacle, a heavenly body is what it's speaking of. We call that body the theophany. You hear him sing that song, one day I'm going to take a step into my theophany. And then the Bible talks about that there's coming a day when the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, we all shall be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. And when people die in Christ, out of this world, and they go to heaven, they go there and they go into their theophany body. And that's what they're dwelling in now. And in that theophany body, they don't need to sleep. They don't need to eat. They don't need those things. But there, the Bible said, not made perfect without us. They've got to come back to this earth and be resurrected in the body that has to be resurrected from the dirt, from the dust ye are, from dust shalt return. And friends, there's a body that's made up of 16 elements of this earth. And your body you're in now is made up of 16 elements, but it's in a cursed condition. It gets old, it gets sick, it gets tired, it gets full of diseases. What happened? Because in the beginning, God said to man, you can eat of every tree of the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For in the day you eat thereof, that day you will die. And the Bible says, know ye that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And there's been no man has ever lived 1,000 years or one day on this earth in the eyes of God. Methuselah came the closest and lived to be 969 years old. But even he missed the mark. Because why? The curse that was put on man because he ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But when we leave this life, we've got a body, another body to go to. We've got something that's representing us. Amen. When you were born into this life, what happened? See, you came down into this, you bypassed your theophany, is actually what you did, Brother Branham said, and you came down to be born into this body of sin so that you could be tempted. So you could be tested. So that your character could be molded. But you were a thought of God back in the beginning before the foundation of the world. That proves predestination. You can't be the Word unless you're a thought. You had to be in God's thinking first. Hallelujah. But in order to stand temptation, I said, you bypassed your theophany and came down into this body that was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And you're tested and you're tried. And your character's molded. Now, when a person dies, that doesn't change them. The way that you go down is the way you'll come up. If a person dies and goes down a sinner, then they'll come be resurrected in the general resurrection, which is spoke of in the book of Revelations, where it says that all the dead shall come forth and the sea will give up its dead. And in that general resurrection of all, than the sinner that went down. He'll come up, but he'll come up the way he went down. He went, and the Bible says, he that's filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that's righteous, let him be righteous still. Now, in the book we just read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 10 it said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So in that general resurrection, the sinner comes up and he's resurrected up in the body that he went down in. And that body that he committed to sin in, that body that he lived in, whatever kind of a sinful life he lived in this world, or she lived in this world, whatever they were, that's what they'll be when they stand in the judgment. And they won't be able to deny what they've done because they'll be standing there in the body that they committed the sin in. But friends, the Bible says, well, as we read, we have a heavenly body. We have this earthly tabernacle. We've got a heavenly tabernacle, not made with hands, a word body. And friends, one day we're going to be in that body. And when we stand there on that day, that body that we're standing in, it will have never took drugs. It will have never drank. It will have never committed adultery. It will have never committed sin. You'll be standing there in a sinless, hallelujah, a sinless body. And that old Satan, the Bible says, that devil, the accuser of the brother, he won't be able to accuse you because you will be standing in a body that never done those things. But now that you have come alive in Christ, you're justified. As the prophet said, and being justified is just as if you never done it in the first place. You stand there guiltless, sinless. All the sin that you committed in this life, when it comes under the blood of Jesus Christ, it's gone, annihilated. It's like taking a drop of ink and putting it in a bucket of bleach. If you ever try that, take a drop of ink, let it drop down into a bucket of bleach. It disappears. It's annihilated. And Brother Branham said, that's the way our sins are when we plunge them into the blood of Jesus Christ. They're annihilated. The Bible says they're put in the sea of God's forgiveness and that God will remember them no more. God doesn't even see you. He sees your representation. He hears your voice coming out of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what God hears. You make mistakes in this life. We fail from time to time. The Bible says if any man say he doesn't sin, he's a liar. We all sin from time to time, but we're not sinners. We make mistakes in this life. But we've got an advocate with the Father. That the Bible says if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father to plead our case. Amen, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, here you are born into this body of sin, as we said, into this body of flesh. But then one day the light shines on your path. And when the light shines on your path, then it quickens something inside of you. It's like the story we told, and I'll go back over it again. It's like the story we told about the little eaglet that was born and hatched out. A farmer found an eagle egg, took it down to his farm and put it under his chickens. And this little eagle was hatched out. And he was hatched out here in the barnyard. And he didn't know what he was. But one day, that mother eagle was flying over. Hallelujah. And as she flew over, she began looking for that one she had lost. And she screamed out. Now here was this little eaglet. All he had heard was cluck, 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 cluck. Of the chickens. But one day he heard a scream. And that scream brought something out within him. Amen. The voice that he heard, that same sound, that same voice came through him. What was it? He was an eagle to begin with. He never was a chicken. He always was an eagle. But when that eagle call came out, he realized, I'm not a chicken. I'm an eagle. Hallelujah. He jumped up on the fence post, spread forth those wings, felt that little bit of air that you as a human, you could stretch your arms, say, I don't feel a thing. But then let that eagle stretch out its wings, and it can feel the air. It can feel the wind beneath its wings. And it'll rise right up out of there with a couple of flaps and soars right on up into the heavens. And that's what we did. We were born into this world. We may have thought we were a drug addict. We may have thought we were a drunk. We may have thought we were a ladies' man. We may have thought we were this or that or the other. But then one day, we heard a call come out. It was a call from God. It was a call from the Word. And when it came out, it spoke to something inside of you and brought it to life. And Brother Branham said, what that was you heard from your theophany. You heard from your representation. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, this life that we live in, we could illustrate it as like a picture. It's like a picture that you would take. And you know, today you take pictures and everybody snaps them on their phones left and right and everything. And kids growing up, they don't really know what it was to have took pictures and have to take them somewhere and get them developed and get them back to see what the picture you took. But there was a time when you'd take a picture and then they would develop it into what was called a negative. And as it was developed into a negative, then you tried to look at the negative and you couldn't really tell anything about it. It was just a negative. But then one day that negative becomes developed. And when it becomes developed, then it comes into a color and it comes into a picture. Then you can really see what was there all the time. And that's the way this life is. This life is a negative. It's like a negative of a picture. This life that we're born into, it does not appear what we shall be. That's what the Bible says. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. We're in the negative. Hallelujah. Why you say that, Brother Jerry? Because this body gets sick. That's not what I'm going to be. This body gets old. That's not what I'm going to be. This body got bald. That's not what I'm going to be. This body feels sicknesses, and this body feels tiredness, and this body feels temptation, and this body feels pull from this earth. This body feels pull from the world. Don't tell me you're not tempted. Everyone's tempted. But know this, the Bible says that Jesus Christ came and was tempted in every way such as known to man. So he knows the temptation you go through. And the Bible says he is able to secure or help those who are tempted. Hallelujah. You just go to him in prayer. When you're facing a temptation, when you're facing something, amen, I'll tell you what you do. The Bible says, amen, you've got representation up there. It says God's your father up there. I'll tell you what you do. You just call him up, as the song says. Call up your sponsor. My sponsor is Jesus Christ. And get him on the line. Amen. And friends, I'll tell you what, you don't got to talk to him in Latin. You don't got to talk to him in some kind of special words. You just talk to him the way you talk to me. Just talk to him the way you talk to anybody. He can understand you. He understands what you're going through. He understands your needs. He's there to meet your needs. Amen. He's there to help you, the Bible said. Amen. But one day, you know, this picture is going to be developed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One day it's going to be developed. And you know, God has a picture of you, of what you shall be. And when this picture is developed, right now this picture, my picture is a 60-year-old man. That's what it looks like right now. But that's the negative. But when it gets developed, amen, it's going to turn me back to a young man again. In the Bible, there's proof of that. God came to Abraham and promised him that about the time of life that Sarah would conceive and bring forth a son. And Sarah in herself testified and said, me as old as I am, and my Lord as old as he is, us have a child? No way. Abraham was 100 years old. 99, the Bible says. And Sarah was a few years younger than Abraham. And here they were, past the time for them to bear children. But then as this old man and this old woman were walking along through this life for 25 years, waiting for the promise of God to come to pass, one day that old woman was walking along and this king saw her and desired to have her for a wife. Now you tell me that he looked down there and saw some old haggard woman walking around on a cane and said, I'd like to have her for my wife. No, something had happened to her. She had been changed. She had went back in age. Brother Adam said she went back to about the age of 25 years old. And that king looked down there and saw her, and Abraham said, you tell him you're my sister. Now that was a half-truth. She was his sister. They had the same father, but a different mother. And but it wasn't the full truth. She had been married to him. She was his wife. But Abraham said, if you tell them you're my wife, they're liable to kill me just to have you. Now who in the world want to kill some old man just to have some old hag? Nope. They had been changed back in their bodies and went back in time to a young man and young woman again so they could bring forth this child. And Brother Branham said, that is a testimony and promise to you of the word, you're going to be changed back. Amen. And he said, when you're changed back, you'll be between the age of 20, 25 years old. If you was good and healthy and that at that time, that's what you'll be again. Hallelujah. When that picture gets developed, it'll take us into our theophany. And the Bible says that when the dead in Christ rise, that we which are alive remain shall be changed in a moment, twinkling an eye, will be changed. They come back to pick up their earthly body. Our earthly bodies change while we're standing here. What happens to it? Right now, friends, you know, your body's like a solar system. And when the fall happened, all them planets got thrown out of orbit. And that's what caused man's body to die. You're born into this life and you reach about the age of 25, and then from there on you begin to die. You begin to get old. Things begin to go wrong, and the older you get, the more wrong they go. But there's coming a day when you're going to be changed back again. This body will be changed. You'll have a new life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, the Bible promises that he'll raise you up at the last day. Amen. Brother Ram says this. He says, The same Holy Spirit will come forth and brood over you. He's watched over you and brought you here. And then if I am what I am, if I'm a man because the Holy Spirit made me, I would have never come by the will of Charles and Ella Branham if the Holy Spirit hadn't brought me. And if he made me what I am and made you what you are without having any choice, and how much more if the potash and calcium spreads over the earth, if he broods over it with his sworn oath that he'll raise me up in the last days, what do I care if they bury me at sea or burn me in the furnace? When that hour comes, the Holy Spirit falls his wings across the earth and broods, I'll come out of the dust of this earth somewhere made in the image of God to live forever. Now, there's two books. There's a book of life, and then there's a book within the book of life, which is called the Lamb's Book of Life. And those that are in the book of life, they're born into this world. But if they don't receive Christ as their Savior, then they'll die and go by the grave that way. But there are those whose names are wrote there in the Lamb's Book of Life, who before the foundation of the world, the Bible says, and those names, he came to redeem those names. And your name was under that book. Your name was under that seal. And when he came to redeem you. Amen. Now, you were born into this life, but it was like there was another Brother Anthony. Amen. There was one Anthony that was born into this world and did the things he done, but deep down inside there was another Anthony. And when the word began to brood over you, the Holy Spirit, it brought that Anthony to life. And you're not what you are today. That's not what you were. You've been changed. And that's how he changes us. Amen. First, there's a change. Amen. From the inside man coming alive. That inside man is resurrected. And when that inside man, if you've had a spiritual resurrection, then you will have a natural resurrection. If you've had a spiritual change, then you will have a natural change. Amen. What is it? A little grain of seed. Life, a germ of life that was buried down in there. Brother Branham said he grew up in a family where they used to drink and carry on and party. And he said he never wanted nothing to do with those things. He said when they would get to drinking and party, he'd get his old coon dog and he'd go out and find him somewhere to go out and make a fire and sit. And he would sit and listen for his dog to bark tree. And he said he built his fire and burnt that up, and that old log burnt. Said he came back there in the spring and there was a flower that came up there. And he said, where did you come from? You weren't here in the winter. You weren't here when I was burning this log for a fire. Where did you come from? He said that life was there all the time. And it was just waiting for the right conditions. It was just waiting for the right atmosphere. It was waiting for the right amount of water, the right amount of light to shine on it. And up it came out of those ashes. And that's the same with you. Amen. You were born into this life, but there was another you that was on the inside. And it was just waiting for the light of the word. It was waiting for the word to speak to you. Amen. And you, like that woman at the well, when you heard the word, it had a different effect on you. Amen. You didn't say, puff up and say, well, I tell you what's the truth. Seems like he just gets up there and exposes my life. Instead, it was like, my goodness, that must be God because that man don't know me. That's got to be God because that man don't know me. He wasn't with me yesterday. He didn't know what I was doing, but somebody was with you. Somebody knew, and that somebody was God. Amen. And God speaks to you. Amen. And it brings that to life in you. Amen. And you feed on that word. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, Jesus said, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. Now, that life that was laying there, it is that's when you're born again when it comes to life. Amen. Remember Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? Must he enter into his mother's womb again? Amen. He had no understanding. It meant nothing to him. But friends, there was a jailer, amen, that was down there in the jail, and he was tending to some prisoners, and all of a sudden there was an earthquake that came, and that earthquake came and it shook that prison, and when it did, the shackles that were on Paul fell off of him. And the jailer thought that the prisoners had escaped, and the Bible said he was going to take his own life because he'd be responsible for him. And Paul called out and said, do yourself no harm. We're all here and accounted for. And the jailer said, what must I do? I want what you've got. I want what caused this earthquake. I want what you've got. Paul said, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and thou and thy whole family shall be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Born again. When he heard he had to be born again, he didn't sit there and wonder at it. He wanted it. Amen. Praise God. And this little life that's laying there, the life, the water pours upon it, and then it begins to grow. Now, that old life you had, it's forgiven. As I said, it's in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Amen. Never to be remembered no more. And we stand justified in the presence of God. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how you've come down and spoke to us this morning. I ask God, you know in every soul that's here, you know every need, Father. I pray you'll meet those needs. I pray if there's anyone here, God, that needs salvation, Lord, that they'll accept you as their Savior this morning. I pray if there's anyone here, God, that needs the Holy Ghost, may they receive the Holy Ghost today, Lord. I pray, God, that may you just brood over them and bring forth, Lord God, for the waters of living water, fountains of living water from within side, Lord, where they'll never thirst again. Hallelujah. Lord, once we take a drink from this water, we never want to quit drinking. We just want to keep drinking this water, this living water. We can't get enough of it, Lord. We've got to have it, Lord. We can't just wait from one service to the next. We've got to have it continuously, Lord. Lord, you come down and you commune with your people, God. Now I pray you'll bless each one, God. Bless the mothers, dear God. Bless them, God, when they're with their families today. Lord, I pray you'll bless them, bless their gatherings. Bless them, God. I pray, God, that may, Lord, if they gather with those, Lord, that are unsaved, Lord, may something from their life would shine that light of the gospel, Lord, that will have an effect on their loved ones, dear God, that they'll want what they see. They'll want some of that for themselves. I pray your blessings this morning, dear God, on everyone that's here. And we give you praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.